2021, so far away. Time passed. It passed in air raid practices and gas mask drills, as we trained for a war in which nothing much actually seemed to be happening. It passed in evenings when I read and reread my parents' letters and cried myself to sleep from homesickness, despite Clover doing her best to comfort me with her reassuring purrs. It passed in school lunches eaten at our desks, covered with greaseproof paper, instead of going home for lunch as we did in Germany. It passed in knitting socks for soldiers, while Miss Ambrose read to us from The Railway Children and The Land of Green Ginger. In digging for victory in the school garden, sowing onions and cabbages, leeks and broad beans. In improving my English, helped by the kindness of Miss Marshall, who kept pace with my learning and lent me books from her own home. "I think you might like this," she would say, placing Alice in Wonderland or The Secret Garden on my desk when she came in to look at the lower juniors' work. One day, Miss Marshall asked me a question that nobody had asked me before. "What do you enjoy, Anna? What sorts of things do you like to do at home?" When I told her I used to play the piano, she said I could come to her house after school any time I wanted to practice on hers. The piano was in the front room of her cottage, just down the lane from school. On warm autumn days, she kept the window open, and sometimes I would look up from playing to see a group of my schoolmates standing outside, listening. The seasons passed too. The dusty roads and golden wheat fields of August gave way to dewy mornings and spiders' webs, autumn leaves and fair brown conkers, each one a shining treasure to be unwrapped from its spiky green casing, only to fade within days to a disappointing dullness. I learned the names of the jewel-like berries that glowed in the hedgerows, rosehip and haws, blackberries and sloes. Christmas came, with holly cut from the hedgerows, a tree cut from the woods, and paper snowflakes cut from newspaper, strung on the cottage window panes with threads of cotton. In my stocking, an old wool sock of Uncle Bert's, I found a bar of chocolate, a tangerine, and a pink sugar mouse. Best of all, I found a box of drawing pencils and a book called Ballet Shoes, about three orphaned girls who have to make their own way in the world. I loved that book. Then came the terrible bitter cold of January, February and March, when we all huddled around the kitchen table in the warmth of the Rayburn stove, dreading the time when we had to take hot water bottles to unheated bedrooms, where the icy wind blew through the gaps around drafty windows. And then came signs of spring, with flowers whose English names I learned and loved. First the snowdrops and daffodils poked their way up through the frozen earth, then celandines, wood anemones and primroses, while the hedgerows bloomed with blackthorn blossom. I met Miss Marshall in the lane one day when I was walking to the shops on an errand for Auntie Rose. I had crouched down to examine a cluster of primroses, thinking I would like to draw them, but I didn't have a pencil in the right shade of yellow. "Such a comfort, nature, isn't it?" Miss Marshall said. "The way it just does its own thing, to its own rhythms, regardless of the hideous mess we humans are making of the world. I do find it reassuring that however bad the news may be, the trees still come into leaf and the flowers into bloom." Since the outbreak of war, there had been no post between England and Germany. There were only Red Cross letters. You were allowed to write a maximum of 25 words and only family news, nothing political or related to the war. It was better than nothing, but only just. Now that I couldn't write long letters to my parents anymore, I started to keep a diary. It helped to have a place where I could write down my thoughts and feelings, and writing them down helped me organise them in my mind a little better. I still kept the box in my head locked up tightly, though. There were some thoughts I couldn't write down. I tried not to think too much about what life might be like for my parents, but there was a constant knot of worry inside me, which only loosened slightly when a Red Cross letter arrived. Only very slightly, though, because letters had to be sent via the Red Cross headquarters in Switzerland, so they took weeks or even months to get to me. I knew my parents had been all right when they sent the letter, but were they still safe now? In bed in the blackout, trying to stave off the worries and the nightmares, I would fantasise that they had somehow managed to leave Germany and were on their way to me right now. I imagined them walking into the cottage kitchen as we were eating breakfast, or appearing in the school playground, or coming down the village lane towards me. One drizzly grey afternoon in March, I was walking home from school with Molly and Frank as usual. We passed the blacksmith's forge just as the bus from Castlebridge drew up on the other side of the road. The passengers spilled out, And there, in the jumble of raincoats and hats and umbrellas and shopping baskets, I saw my mother in her dark green coat. My heart somersaulted. I gasped and dashed across the road, narrowly missing a bicycle that swerved to avoid me. "Look where you're going, idiot!" shouted the cyclist, glaring over his shoulder. I didn't care. I dodged my way through the throng at the bus stop. "Mama! Mama!" The woman in the green coat turned around. It wasn't my mother. She was just an English woman in a green coat. Everybody else turned around too. One woman said hello to me. I ignored her. My eyes were so blurred with tears I could barely see. I stumbled back across the road. I didn't look at Molly and Frank, but I knew they were staring at me. I walked on in front of them, my head to the ground. Molly ran to catch up with me. "Are you all right, Anna?" I couldn't speak. "Did you think you saw your mum?" I nodded. She walked along beside me for a while in silence. Then she put her hand on my arm. It must be horrible being so far away from them. I quickened my pace. "I don't want to talk about it." "All right." She said nothing more and we continued in silence. After a while, she slowed her pace until she was walking with Frank again, and I was stomping ahead of them, head down in the chill March drizzle.